Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. Hi, everybody. My name is Jackie. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a very grateful alcoholic. I want to first thank, where'd Dana Banana go? Oh, thank you, Dana, for inviting me. Thank you so much, everybody. Kathy, Lisa, everybody who's of service here, all the volunteers, everybody who's of service to Alcoholics Anonymous, thank you very much. Thanks. I feel like I'm booming loud, am I? A little bit, yeah. I'm loud, so me with a microphone is like, wah! All right, a couple of house cleaning items. My sobriety date is May 20th, 2013. That's not my first date, but by the grace of a loving God that I did not come here looking for, I hold on to it every 24 hours. Thank you. I have a sponsor. My sponsor knows he's my sponsor. He has a sponsor, and my grand sponsor has a sponsor. I also have the great privilege of sponsoring people in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, something I never thought that I would say, so I will get to that. I said I'm an alcoholic, right? Anybody else? Yeah, my people. you know, I spent most of my life convinced that I'm not an alcoholic. I could never be an alcoholic. I was going to do anything and everything in my life not to be an alcoholic. I grew up in a house filled with alcohol. My parents are people that, you know, you might call them partiers. Just saying. We don't like to take the inventory of others, right, Trenton? But I do. My parents drink professionally. My parents came here from Mexico for the same reason that most people come to this country, for opportunity, to give their kids a better life. My mother was so in love with this country and the American dream, she actually named my brother and I after the Kennedys. That's why I'm an alcoholic, P.S., and by the way. For sure, we're the only Mexicans you're ever going to meet named Jackie and John. The names of the people in my family are literally Pepe, Gogo, Rogelio, Pilar, Rosita, Jackie, and John, and that makes me an alcoholic. Thanks, Mom and Dad. It's so great. You can blame your parents for everything. That is amazing. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for making me an alcoholic. Cool. My parents, you know, like I said, that my mom loved this country, my dad too. They came here with an eighth grade education, both of them. My dad went to school here. He was sponsored by a man who, my dad was the dishwasher in this man's restaurant, and it turned out that that man started a little thing called Jack in the Box. So, I know, impressive, right? My dad was the first manager of the first Jack in the Box in California. That makes me an alcoholic, too. Those late-night tacos, 2 for 99 cents? Just saying. I mean, so I've heard. But my mother came here. She got at 13. She ran away from home. She was already drinking at age 13, came here and got a fake ID, brought her two younger siblings with her, her brother who's deaf, lived in the basement of an apartment in Chicago, and my mother became a Playboy bunny at the Playboy Club. So, yeah. That also makes me an alcoholic. Ladies, think about yourself in eighth grade. How would you like to bring the boys home in eighth grade and your mom's wearing a bikini? Drunk, yeah. Some outside issues, too. Hot, I know. The self-esteem was through the roof. My dad's very athletic. My brother's very athletic. I am not. My mother's was a Playboy bunny. I am not. I never fit in anywhere. I swear to God, I never felt like I fit in anywhere. And I know that doesn't make me alcoholic, but it sure seems to run through our DNA, right? It's like, I'm too Mexican for white people. I'm too white for Mexican people. I'm not really tall, but I'm not really short. I'm not really super skinny, but I'm not really, you know, it's just like, OMG. Thank you. My people. Yeah, that does make me an alcoholic. Totally. I speak English. I speak Spanish. We lived in Brazil, so we speak Portuguese. You come to my house on Wednesdays, it's Portuguese. The rest of the week, it's Spanish. Every once in a while, there's some English thrown in. I don't know why. It just happens. I knew at a very young age, and if you are the daughter or son of immigrants or no one, which you do, you probably understand this as well, that I knew at a very young age that I knew more than my parents because they didn't grow up here. They left their country, right? They left their family, their culture, their language, the laws, everything. And so I knew more than them. And, you know, I don't know what, when people say, my alcoholic thinking, I don't know what that means. What I do know is that from a very young age, I was always trying to prove something. I was always going somewhere. I was always in a hurry. It was never enough. I never got there. I was walking faster than everybody or walking way behind, right, Eric? With a K? I'm just like the quintessential, if this moment right here, right now, it's not enough. I'm not enough. We got to do more. And unfortunately, the world rewards that. You know, it really does in many ways. So I became like the classic overachiever. I'm so annoying. I mean, I annoy myself. And I just can't stop. I can't stop. Oh my God, I can't stop. You know, I'm that kid in school who everyone's like counting down until the bell goes off to get the hell out of there. And I'm like, can you give us extra credit options? You know, and everyone wants to kick my ass. And I get it. I get it. And then there's the part of me that thinks that I'm better than everybody else because I do that, and I do the extra credit, and I get the good grades, and I'm the first person to go to college in my family, and I went to Yale, although if you ask my father, hang on before you get impressed. First of all, lady, we ended up in the same place, so a lot of good it did me, right? $46,000 worth of student loan debt, and whoo, what's up, AA? That's how I roll. That's right, IWV. Uh-huh, don't get too impressed. Because if you ask my dad, he would have told you that I went to jail. Because that Mexican has been in this country for well over 40 years and he still can't say the word Yale. Or Dodgers. Dodgers, Los Dodgers. But if you ask my father what color this is, Jello. He can pronounce Doyers. He can't say yellow. Can't say Yale. He's a medical marvel, my father. You know, my parents, being the good Mexicans that they are, pretty much every problem in life solved by tequila. Right? Tequila. You have a stomach ache? Tequila. You're sad? Tequila. You're happy? Tequila. It's Tuesday? Tequila. Right? Tequila, tequila, tequila. My family is insane. Like, there's no other way to put it. They're just straight up loco, ese. Like, straight up loco. My mom's sister married into Southern royalty. My mom's sister married a man from Blytheville, Arkansas. Taylor Leroy Brewer from Blytheville, Arkansas. One of 17 kids. One bathroom. Not much to do there except for unprotected sex, apparently, right? Okay, cool. TMI. No, it's not. That's right. Lots of brothers. They all have the same middle name. They're all Ronnie Leroy, Neil Leroy, Taylor Leroy. My dad has lots of brothers. Gogo, Pepe, Rogelio, right? But when my tío Rogelio came to the United States, he would insist that you call him Roger. Okay. Because everybody thinks you blended. So you put hillbillies with Mexican cowboys, and you've got Jackie Maria. My Uncle Taylor would take me around San Diego, where they're from, and introduce me to all his friends and say, this is my Mexican niece, look at her, Jackie Maria, talk Mexican to them. That makes me an alcoholic. I love my Uncle Taylor, but they're all crazy. You know, growing up, I had the mijas from Mexico, right? Hey, mija, love you, mija, what's up, mija? And the yeehaws from Arkansas. It was like that. All my life, I had it going on like that. Yeehaw, mija, what's, why? I couldn't get out of my house fast enough, I swear to God. They were crazy. My mother would have said she was 5'2". Okay, nice one with your big hair and your chanclas, maybe. 5 foot, and I'm being generous. Yeah. Her sister, 4'11". She's a little chihuahua for sure. That's how she got down. This is going to tell you exactly a little snapshot of my life. Ready? Or why I'm alcoholic, P.S. So my dad and his brothers, and my Uncle Taylor and his brothers, shockingly, when they would drink, they would like to fight. I know, it's weird. Go with me. And they'd all go out together. They'd go to a bar. They'd drink. Inevitably, someone would say something to somebody, right? They're going to say something to the rednecks or the Mexicans. It's whatever. Someone's going to say something. And I'm sure they were not at fault. I'm sure they didn't step on the toes of others. Nothing like that. But inevitably, someone says something to someone. A fight breaks out. My mother, my aunt, my cousin, my brother, and I are home alone. We're making up dance routines. That's what we did. And singing and doing our thing. And all of a sudden, my mom comes like a crazy person out of nowhere, grabs me, throws me in the dryer, swear to God, grabs my brother, puts him in the washing machine, shuts the laundry room door, they turn off all the lights, and I hear my 4'11" aunt creeping across the floor, and then I hear the unmistakable sound of, and then I hear her say, "Who's there?" And I hear some strange man go, "Wide Earp." And my aunt says, "Wide Earp my ass." Boom! Blows out the whole front of the house. 4'11", rifle bigger than her, blows out the whole front of the house. The guy gets in his car. He's so scared. He's in a Volkswagen. He doesn't even start the ignition. He's literally Fred Flintstoning it down the, swear, he's doing this like he's on a bird. And fight and gunfight and all. My mother drove around in her car riddled with gun bullets for 9 months. Because it's normal for us. It's normal. That's what makes me alcoholic. Do you wonder why I drank? I don't. So the reality is that I love my parents, but I also, they just did not live up to my expectations, let's be honest. I went to Catholic school. I know that's weird that we're Mexican and Catholic. You can take my picture later for the Freak album. I went to Catholic school. I loved it. I had a great experience. I was taught by Jesuits. They're very into education. They're very much into service. You know, the Jesuits say, "Show me your faith, don't tell me." And, you know, that worked for me. I thought the nuns were so cool. Oh, my God. They wore dresses and played soccer and softball and kicked every guy's ass. There was not one priest, one altar boy that could hold a candle to the nuns on the field in a dress. I wanted to be a nun. I'm like, I'm going to wear a dress and kick your ass. And then puberty, and I discovered your ass. Not going to be a nun. No, no. Bye, Felicia. That's not happening. But I did like the whole idea of being of service. And from the time I was a little kid, I won a I won a contest in the state of California. I'm going to say some things about my life. And I can hear my sponsor's voice in my head saying, you don't have to apologize for your life. I'm not apologizing. Parental advisory. This might sound like a flex. It's just the reality. So, and by the way, we ended up in the same place, so who cares? But, so I won a contest in sixth grade, and I wrote a speech in sixth grade about friendship. Aww. I was already obnoxious in sixth grade. Oh my God, I thought there was an earthquake. Thank you. What the hell? Just because this is like, you know, not sturdy. And so I felt like, you know, the tilt-a-wheel at Magic Mountain. Wait, am I drunk? No. It's been a while since I felt like that. Thank you. Oh my God. I won this contest. I went to Washington, D.C. It was a competition for kids in the state of California. So I got to go and spend time with our U.S. senators and the congressional people from California. And I was 11 years old, and it was magical to me. I walked through those halls, and I saw all those statues and all those documents, and I just knew that important stuff happened there, and I wanted to be there. And so from the time I was in sixth grade, I wanted to be the first Mexican-American female senator from the state of California. Thank you. Yeah, I'm not going to win this county, am I? It's okay. It's all right. But that was my dream, and I was on that track. So I was a political science major. Like I said, I went to Yale. I interned in the White House. I came back to California. I ran campaigns. I worked as a union organizer for the Hotel Employees and Restaurant Employees Union, Local 11. We won all kinds of, I ran boycotts. I was the youngest negotiator for the AFL-CIO. And I love holding records like that, by the way. Like, I love it. I still hold the record for most cookies sold by an individual Girl Scout. What's up? Before the worldwide interwebs. Standing outside of a grocery store with an ironing board. No, and I also would make my dad take it to work, maybe. But yeah, I love stuff like that. I hold the record in the state of California for most new registered voters by an individual. You're welcome, California. But that's me. I always want to be the first, the best, the only. The first, the best, the only. Because from a very young age, I just didn't feel like I mattered or I belonged. My parents were busy partying and being in the jacuzzi with strangers. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that went on in my house that was, ugh. And by the time I was 9 years old, I knew how to call the bail bondsman and get my parents bailed out of jail for DUIs. 9. I could spot an unmarked police car anywhere. Because my uncles and my dad used to pay me to stand outside and spot them. So I had all these skills that I thought were so amazing. I could mix any drink that anybody who came to our house wanted, right? I was very skilled. I'm a mixologist. I'm also your business manager. You know, and I became an entrepreneur at a very young age. And by entrepreneur, I mean kind of a pimp, I'm not going to lie, because what I did was I hired all the kids in my neighborhood who were like my brother's punk age, 3 years younger than me, but it might as well have been 100. I hired them to wash cars. And I would get the cars and, you know, I gave them all the supplies and they would wash cars. Because I would wash cars for money and I could wash a car and make $5, but I could get you punks to wash and we could do 10 cars and I'd pay you $1. And I keep 4. People seem to be very impressed with that. So I got the message loud and clear that people are very impressed when you make money. It doesn't matter if you're exploiting your neighbors and your friends and your friends' brothers and sisters. That doesn't matter. It seems to really impress adults to have money. And also, they have something to steal. And that's just the way it went in my house. For sure. Because my parents were very, very caught up in their lives and their lifestyle and what they want to do. And I just felt unlovable. I felt unlovable. I felt like I don't matter, nobody cares, and nobody's gonna do anything for me. I learned at a very young age not to ask anybody for help, for anything. Nada, zero. I'm gonna do it, I can do it, I don't need you, I don't need to ask for help, I got this. I mean, I remember being in sixth grade and thinking, I got this. Literally saying to my teacher, no, no, I got this. Correcting her math. That's right. I never took a drink of alcohol, not once ever, not in high school, not in college, not once ever. I didn't have champagne at my wedding. I just was not going to drink. I wasn't going to be like them, ever. I held my mother in my arms as my mother took her last breath and died of this disease. And if you've never seen or smelled an alcoholic death, this doesn't end well. It does not end well. That woman who'd been so full of life and funny, smart. My mother taught herself how to read and write in English. My mother learned Portuguese, universal sign language. So smart, so charismatic, bigger than life. And that woman was so small, and I held her like a baby, and boy, she was gray. There's no other way to describe it. Not sort of gray, gray, like the color of this floor. And her eyes were chartreuse, the whites were chartreuse. And her tongue, it wasn't like dark or purple, it was black, black. And she was coughing up blood, and she couldn't even get herself to the restroom. And she looked at me, and she was shaking, and that look of terror in her eyes, I'll never forget it, and the smell of rotting from the inside. And it was like that. My mother was not sick. This happened on the 11th, and she died on the 22nd. And she looked at me and she said, I promise you, mija, this time I'm going to quit. And then she took her last breath and she died. And I felt the life leave her body. And I couldn't believe it. And I was pissed. I mean, pissed. I was so mad at her. I was so mad at her. I was so mad at her. Because I had heard that promise 1,000 times throughout my life. Every single time she forgot to pick me up at school or sign a paper or it was my birthday, she was always going to quit. And she never did. I was pissed. I needed her. And I was pissed. Because I thought my mother was a loser, and I thought my mother was lazy, and I thought my mother was undisciplined, because look at me, I go to Yale, I'm in the White House, I'm the first Latina to star in a network sitcom, I lost 170 pounds, I played Jennifer Lopez's sister in the movie Selena, I wrote books, I do motivational speaking, I run campaigns, you can't stop drinking? I was pissed, boy, and I was pissed at God. You bet your ass I was pissed at God. And all those good times I had in Catholic school and my friends who were priests and all those families I grew up with, you know what I did? Later skater, ghosted them. I wanted nothing to do with any of it. And I spent years being pissed and saying, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. Don't talk to me about God because you're missing a chromosome. Like, honestly, if you are going to talk to me about God, I'm sorry that you can't get it together in life. I'm sorry. But you're a sheep. You're just following. Like, what are you doing? And I had not just, I couldn't just not believe in silence. I had to, like, tear you down, right? Tear you down. Make sure that you know what I think and why and that I'm a victim and poor me and my mother dies, but that guy gets to live? What? And I was mad, boy. Mad. But I acted like I was fine. I'm fine. I developed severe insomnia. I couldn't sleep. And I started hallucinating. That's just the fact. I would have done anything to sleep. If they had told me, shave your head, I would have shaved my head. And my then husband, the doctor said, why don't you try some red wine? And to me, that was like taking the weapon that had killed my mother and putting it in my mouth and pulling the trigger and swallowing it. It was so traumatic. Now, I'm very dramatic. I'm not going to lie. I'm sure I'm the only alcoholic woman you've ever met who's dramatic. I'm a unicorn. I'm very dramatic, but I wasn't being dramatic. It was traumatic. And my now former husband poured that red wine into a glass and handed it to me, and I took a straw and I plugged my nose and I took a sip and crying and mucus bubbles and snot. And I slept. And it was glorious. It was glorious. And I woke up the next morning and I couldn't wait until nighttime to have another glass of that wine. And by the end of 2 weeks, I was drinking 2 bottles a day, every day, before my husband came home from work, by myself, hiding the bottles. And then every single thing in my life, except for drinking, stopped. I stopped being a friend. I stopped being a wife. I stopped being an employee. I stopped working. I stopped checking in with the people who worked with me. I stopped being an aunt. I stopped being a sister. I stopped being a daughter. I stopped being anything other than somebody who drinks full time all day, every day. I'm a blackout drunk from day one, and I can't stop. And the second that I have that drink, first of all, I'll spend every single second of every minute of every hour so stressed out and anxious until I get that drink. And I don't even have to drink the drink. I just have to know it's there. I just have to know it's in the refrigerator. It's in the trunk. It's right on the table. The waitress is coming. And I can start to relax. And I take that drink, and I swear to God, I'm just going to have one. I swear to God, I'm just going to go get us one martini. And 3 hours later, I'm blacked out in our hotel room, and I don't know how I got there. I don't know what I did, but I know my husband's pissed. I didn't start drinking until I was 40 years old, which is weird because I'm 27. I don't know why that's funny, but I'm sure it's very nice. You can explain it to me later why it's funny. I started drinking at 40 years old. When I read the doctor's opinion, it talks about an allergy. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. You guys will make any excuse for why you drink. I have an abnormal reaction to alcohol. Alcohol owns me. Alcohol takes away everything. Everything, all my dreams, everything I love, everything I hold dear, everything that's holy to me. Everything. Everything. My self-worth. My dignity, my self-respect, the respect of others. I become somebody when I drink that I wouldn't let into your house, and that's the truth. I lie, I cheat, I steal. I am willing to commit murder to keep drinking. I am willing to commit murder. I'm a blackout drunk, and I will get behind the wheel of my car, and I will drive blacked out. And I will wake up in the morning and not know where my car is, how I got there. I don't care who's on the road. I don't even think about it. I don't think about maybe you're on your way to have a baby or get married or say goodbye to a loved one or, you know, go to the grocery store. I don't care. Because the minute that I get that first drink in me, it is on like Donkey Kong. Like, I need another one. I need another one. I need another one. I need another one. And I think that's normal. And I don't think I have a problem. I never once had a hangover. Not once ever. Because I'm a blackout drunk. I drank all the time. I never stopped. In 15 months, I had bleeding ulcers twice that had to be surgically repaired. I had seizures, alcohol-like seizures. The state of California relieved me of my driving responsibilities. I scared the bejesus out of my husband. He watched his wife being taken away in an ambulance, kicking and screaming because I was having seizures and yelling at the firemen or paramedics and telling them that they're pieces of shit. I have stitches in my face. I don't know how I hurt myself. I just know I had to go to the emergency room and get stitches. It did not go well. All of this in 15 months. I burned down everything, and I couldn't stop. And I went to treatment in Mexico, which I know is kind of like quitting cocaine in Colombia, but just go with me. I went to treatment 5 times in a very fancy schmancy treatment center because I'm fancy. You know how in our book it says we don't know the difference between real and fancy? Fancy. So fancy. I got to rehab hallucinating, and then I decided to take off all my clothes except for my bra and underwear. You're welcome for that. And walking around in the middle of the night asking people if they wanted to learn how to dance salsa. And sure that the DEA was following me. I didn't have drugs, but they're following me, you know. And when they took me to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous earlier in that day, I had told my counselor that I was leaving rehab because this isn't my life. I'm not like these people, right? I'm just going through a tough time. My husband's mad. We'll work it out, you know. I wasn't there to get better. I was there for the same reason I did everything in my life. Let somebody else tell me how to feel about me. Let somebody else fix it. Let the money fix it. Let the job fix it. Let the fame fix it. Let the show fix it. Let the detox fix it. Let the rehab fix it. Let the doctor fix it. Let my husband fix it. Let my Jackie? Come on now. What do you expect from me? Look at all the things that I do. So I'm going through a tough time. And I believed that to my core. And they took us to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I walked into that meeting, and I did not want what you had. The fluorescent lights, amazing. Thank you for that, Alcoholics Anonymous. I did not understand, and I had no problem letting people know this. In fact, at that first meeting, we weren't allowed to have cell phones in rehab, but I convinced our driver to let me use a cell phone. Oh my God, wait, are you manipulative and self-seeking, Jackie? I know, weird. And I stood in the parking lot in English and in Spanish, on my cell phone, as loud as I could. I said, I don't know how it's humanly possible that they got this many poorly dressed people into one room. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I sat in the back, and I sucked my teeth, and I rolled my eyes in the cheap seats, and I went back to rehab, and I told my counselor, you know what, I'm not going to leave, I'm going to stay, because those people in AA need my help. You are welcome, drunks! You are welcome! I'm a giver. It's what I do. And I was in and out and in and out and in and out, and I was such an ass. I am an ass, let's face it. But I'm this person in rehab on day 3 when they told me I had to come out and eat with everybody else. I stood in the doorway and said, I'm not going to leave my room until you bring someone to do my nails. Yeah, because I'm such a lady. I showed up at rehab wearing a dress, and that's all. I need my nails done. I'm here to help you. I'm not insane. I'm not powerless. Don't talk to me about that. I sat in the meetings, and I made fun of everybody. I sat in the cheap seats, and I would get there late, and I'd wear high heels that made a lot of noise because I knew you had linoleum floors, and push-up bra, and way too much this and that and the other thing, and that glitter, right? And I'd walk in late and ka-clunk, 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 ka-clunk across the floor so everybody notices me. You're welcome. And then as soon as you start reading the traditions, blah, 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 this is the time for me to go to the bathroom. Oh, no, wait, there's a speaker. Let me wait until the speaker starts talking. And clunk, 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 across the floor again. Everybody, nobody exists but me. I was in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous for 4 months before I realized that it wasn't a continuum, the shares, that you guys weren't like hanging to find out next week what happened last week like a telenovela. I wouldn't listen to you because I thought I know more than you. Why would I listen to you? I know everything. I got this. Right? Surrender, powerless. How am I powerless? Look at my resume. I just rattle it off. Look at all these things I can do. How's that powerless? Insane? Oh no, you're insane. Do you have a mirror? What's going on with the outfit? We don't wear plaid and stripes, ma'am. That's insane. That's who I am. What, who gives a shit? That's who I am. And I'll tell you, I'm fine. And I did that for months and months and months and months and months. I did it for years. How are you? I'm fine. I'm fine. And thank God for the people in Alcoholics Anonymous who care more about saving my life than what I think of them. Because they taught me a kind of humility that I didn't even know existed. I didn't know it existed. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. I never followed anybody's path thoroughly. I never did anything thoroughly in my entire life. I'm the queen of cutting corners. There's no willingness. No. Well, I was willing to go to any lengths to drink, that's for sure. But here's the deal. I would come to your meetings. I'd put up with your crap coffee and the styrofoam cups, whatever. I might even go with the whole, like, you know, powerless over alcohol. Maybe, possibly, I don't know. Our lives became unmanageable. Yours. I'm sorry, do you have an Emmy? Because I do. Like, honestly, that's me. You have to have a sponsor because, I don't know, you need training wheels. I got this. And, you know, that is the half measures that they talk about. That is the easier, softer way. I wasn't doing the program. I was doing Jackie's program. I wasn't willing to do what you do. I didn't even hear you. I didn't hear these huge words. Look, I brought my cheat sheet. I brought my book. I didn't hear these humongous words, like any lengths, willing to go to any lengths. I'm like my dad. What? Any. Some? Any lengths. Kind of go, kind of do it. Willing to go to any lengths. Thoroughly. Oh, but I mean all, every day? Every day. Thank you. Yeah, every day. There was nothing about me that was interested in sacrificing me. 0.0. It's all about, what do you think of me? No, really. What's going on with me? How am I going to solve my problems? What do you think of me? How am I going to impress you? Because here's my get down, right? Is pride and ego are on the same spectrum for me. So I'm going to like beat you over the head with my ego, right? I'm going to make sure that you know that I can do this and what I think of you, and I'll take your inventory because one of my great superpowers is I'm psychic. Now, my sponsor's an asshole, and he calls that a defect of character, but potato, potato. I'm psychic. I know what you need. I'm going to tell you how to run your life, and I think I'm right. And the thing is, self can't see self, right? But I don't know that. And I would go in and out, and I would relapse, and it was awful, and 5 times in that same treatment center, because apparently I'll go to a dentist for a broken arm. I didn't know that they don't treat alcoholism. I thought that I didn't know I had alcoholism. You guys gave it to me. Thank you for that, by the way. And I just kept doing the same things. And don't tell me I'm insane. Don't tell me I need to be restored to sanity. I'm smart. And that's insane. And I would be in and out and in and out. And you know what you did every time I came back? Even though I laughed at you and made fun of you, you said, "Hi, Jackie. Welcome home." And you hugged me, and you said, "We were waiting for you. Hi, Jackie. Welcome home. Glad you're here. You remembered my name. You didn't want anything from me. And I started to listen. It's not like I got it overnight. It took me almost 3 years. In and out and in and out. I didn't even have the willingness to listen. And then I fell in love with you. I started to hear your stories. Your stories. That's what we do here. We tell our stories. Our stories are magnificent. Our stories feel alike. I like to say that our bottoms may look different, but they feel the same, right? And it's true. And I'm so grateful to the people in these rooms who stuck to the singleness of purpose, who respect all three legacies, so that when a drunk like me stumbled in here and made fun and kept going in and out, AA was still here for me. And you guys gave me that. There was nothing humble about me, my relationship with my mother. I didn't even have the willingness to step aside and get out of my own way long enough to really understand what she was living and going through. I told you that my mother died an alcoholic death, and that's what it says on her death certificate. My mother died from resentments. The last conversation we had, she told me a story about when she was 9 years old, and I'd heard that story thousands of times. And she was lost in it and re-feeling it and reliving it. And my mother never got the solution. My mother never got the solution. I had no idea that alcoholism has little to do with the drinking. It's not the drinking. It's not the drinking, Jackie. It's your cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs behavior, and you think you're right all the time. And I want justice for you, and I want mercy for me. And I judge myself for my intentions, and you're judging me for my actions, and you criticize me. Ha ha ha! You don't know me. And you're going to tell me to take contrary actions? My sponsor told me I had to make my bed every morning. I'm like, excuse me, I have a housekeeper, and not happening. Like, I'm not going to be some stereotype. And I'm like, am I Mexican? I'm not making your bed. Never mind. No. And my sponsor suggested, and by suggest, I mean this bitch got on it, right? Like, there's no, please. Anyway, my sponsor suggested that even when I stay in a hotel, I make my bed. Yeah. Try explaining to the housekeepers in a hotel why you're making your bed. They think you're not happy with the service, or they're going to get fired. I'm like, no, I have a spiritual malady. I have to do contrary actions. And my sponsor thinks that I need some humility, so I have to lower myself to do what you... No, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. I have to be willing to do the things that make me uncomfortable. I don't like to be uncomfortable. Every single moment of every single day of my life, how good do I want to feel? Really good. I want to feel really good all the time. And I spent my whole life trying to find that really good somewhere. It was food, it was sex, it was money, it was this, that, blah, 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 shopping, alcohol. And then it became you. Weird. It's so weird. I never came here looking for God. My sponsor said to me, you know, there's this great thing, it's called our literature. And I'm a writer, I'm a former stand-up comic, I write speeches, I love words, I love to read. I'm a nerd! And I love this book. And I'm so grateful for the people in these rooms who took me through it line by line, that I found somehow the willingness to let you teach me, to let you show me a way of living. I came into these rooms a grown woman. I did not know how to be an adult. I didn't. I hurt a lot of people. I did a lot of damage. But that's not who I am either. And you taught me that. My last drink on May 19th, 2013 was rubbing alcohol and Diet Coke. Jealous that I figured out no calories? That's how smart I am. My first sponsor said to me, "You know what, Jackie, you're right. You're very smart. You don't need to, you don't need humility. You don't need to humble yourself. You know what? Willing to go to any lengths, that's for other people. You're very smart. You know, maybe this isn't for you." Yeah, that's what she said. And I was like, finally, you get me, right? She's like, "That's too bad because, you know, we've never met anyone who's too dumb to get this. But we've met a lot of people like you who are too smart." That did not feel great, I'm not going to lie. That was a real big opportunity for spiritual growth, that statement. And I told her, "You know what? Maybe I don't have what you have. Cool. But I'm going to do this program. I'm going to do it perfectly. I'm going to be the best AA sponsee AA has ever known, and that includes Marty Mann and Bill Wilson. I am going to do this like it's never been done before, perfectly. And I'm going to show you that this does not work." I have the willingness to do things that I come up with. I came up with that idea. So I'm going to do it perfectly. I'm going to do what you say, just like you. You want me to clean ashtrays? Cool. Let's do it. You want me to drive people home who smell and have hair coming out of their ears? Let's do it. You want me to hold hands with? Cool. Let's do that. I thought it was goofy and it was dumb and I thought it was a cult, and any second you were going to tell me to shave my head, we're going to the airport, pass out tambourines and flowers because keep coming back, it works if you work it. Okay, Scientology. And I have to pray. Every time I call my sponsor and say, "This is going on, that's going on. Did you pray?" "No." "Click." "What?" You would think that I would learn to lie. Prayer. I thought it was so stupid. So stupid. It's like, "Oh, why don't I just write a letter to Santa while I'm at it?" Okay? Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm going to hell. I'm not, because that's not the God I believe in. And you know what? I'm grateful that you guys taught me that, because that God that I was so mad at, it was a guy in AA. I couldn't stand him, P.S. I mean, I couldn't stand the sound of his voice. Big opportunity for spiritual growth, this brother. And he came up to me after a meeting one day and he said, "You know what your problem is? You're a coward." "Ecumi, pero someone better hold my rings because it's about to." What? "You're a coward and you're a spoiled, entitled brat." I'm sorry, trickier, come again? And I hated him, and I would get up at the podium and I would go off, and you guys let me. You let me spread my untreated alcoholism until you didn't. And then you would catch me in the parking lot and be like, "That's not how we do things." Okay, that's not how you do things. And I said, "I don't believe in God. I can't do this program." And my sponsor said, "You know that God you don't believe in, neither do we. How can you not believe in something you're so angry at?" I was like, "Oh, snap. Jedi mind trick." And then she read this to me, and this changed my life. And if I was going to get a tattoo, which I'm not because I can't commit to anything, but I always say I want to, and if I was going to get one, this is what I would get tattooed on my body. Much to our relief, we discovered that we did not need to consider another's conception of God. The God that I blamed for everything. I could come up with my own idea of God. I love everything I come up with. This will totally work. Cool. But here's the thing that rocked it. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. Hasta la chingadera. Right? Okay, here we go again, thoroughly. Yeah, and my sponsor would say, yeah, you're either pregnant or you're not. You're in or you're out. And after rubbing alcohol and Diet Coke, I came all the way in and I sat my ass all the way down. Because I was so broken. And that is what I wish for every alcoholic on this planet, a well-whooped ass. Because I wasn't going to do what you do. I didn't want what you want because I didn't have the problem you talked about until I did. There was no chance I was going to be willing to jump into your solution if I didn't have your problem. And then I heard it in your stories. And I found my family. And I found this God. I'm going to cry. To us, the realm of spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive, or forbidding to all men who seek. When therefore we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God, Jackie. Stop blaming others. Stop explaining why you won't do the simple things. Stop telling people, it's never the elephants, it's the ants, it's just that I'm different, I'm a unicorn. Get to work, stop it, stop it. Follow their path. If you want what they have, and you guys were laughing, and you knew each other's names, and Dana reads chapter 5, how it works like nobody else, and Eric with a K is telling us about his, oh, my nickname, and this, and, you know, and like his hat, and oh, look at me, I'm a ska boy. And Trenton, oh my God, my friend Trenton, what I have put this man through. OMG to the second power. I always thought that it was out there. I always thought it was going to be the next thing. It was going to be the stuff. I spent my whole life working really hard to get the stuff, to impress people that I don't even like. Always waiting for a special occasion. I was always waiting for a special occasion. I had no idea how to live right here where my feet are. No idea. Mad about that, afraid of that. But don't call me a coward. I'm a coward. I am spoiled. I am entitled. I'm a liar. I'm dishonest. I'll act like things are great and they're not. And I'm dying inside. And when I came back to you, I was so shattered you could hear my soul rattling around inside of me. I couldn't even look you in the eye. I didn't wear makeup for over a month because I couldn't look in the mirror. And you gave me a power greater than myself. Grace over drama. That's my God. Grace over drama, Jackie, that's all. For a long time, it's just you. I connect with you. That's bigger than me. That's all I need. I don't need to know God, smell God, feel God, name God, touch God, hear God. And, you know, if I ever say I heard God, please, 5150 is what you want to tell the cops. You've given me a relationship with my mother in death that I didn't have in life because you taught me the kind of humility, you know, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. And anonymity and humility is the spiritual foundation of all of our steps. They both mean, hey, Jackie, the world's a much better place when there's more God and less you. Okay, there? Take a seat. Less Jackie, more God. Less Jackie, more God. I'm grateful today. Well, first of all, obviously I'm perfect. I'm grateful today that I can hear what you say, that I don't think that I know everything, that you've given me a way of life where, you know what, it's really, really a relief to be wrong. I gotta tell you, it's really great. Like, when that first happened, oh, talk about a spiritual experience, like the shift inside. What? I'm wrong? It never occurred to me, not once ever, that I'm wrong about anything. I'm wrong? Yeah. I'm delusional. I think things are real, and they're not. Just because I think them, I think they're facts, they're not. Just because I have an opinion, I think that it's fact, it's not. And I built an entire life on things that aren't facts. And I missed all the demonstrable miracles along the way. I didn't have an experience. I had an education in life. I was always doing this for that, transactional. I want good grades, I have to study this. I didn't take it in. I didn't know it. I didn't live it. I didn't incorporate. I studied for the test. Audition, let's do it. I didn't break it down. I didn't feel it. It was all for the end result. It was all to impress you. Because if you were impressed, maybe you would like me so much that I might like me. It was always outside. Always outside. I was always in a hurry. I never got anywhere. Waiting for a special occasion, one of the saddest moments of my life is when I came back from rehab and I walked into my house and I saw my closet and there were all these things in my closet with the price tag still on them. I live in Southern California, but I had a purple fur coat. I told you I was a pimp, but... Folks, that's called a callback in comedy. All these things in my closet with price tags on them. I worked so hard. It was so important for me to have that purse and those shoes and that coat and the, oh my God, so that you would be impressed. That was really important. And I never enjoyed them. There they were with the tags on them. I was always waiting for a special occasion. And you've given me 24 hours. 24 hours. I get a daily reprieve from the crazy radio K-Fucks playing that playlist 24/7 between my ears. I get a daily reprieve contingent upon my spiritual maintenance. You know how I do that? You. You taught me our third legacy, service. Service has saved my life every single time, every single time. And you taught me that deep inside every man, woman, and child exists the fundamental idea of God. Oh my God. Or oh my Jackie. And we're back. You mean this whole time, all I needed was the willingness to believe? You weren't trying to shove a religion down my throat, and it's no shade for religion. But this isn't a religion, it's not a cult. Religion tells me what to believe, who to marry, how to behave, all those things. You guys gave me a spiritual society to be a part of, a spiritual program of action. Action, that I understand. A spiritual program of action. Spirituality has just asked me to believe. I don't have to know, touch, feel. Just seek, Jackie. Just be teachable. That's the most humble way I can live, is to be teachable, because that keeps me out of my own way. The most perfect, Bill Wilson wrote, the most perfect example of humility is the complete sacrifice of self. I wish I could tell you I'm so spiritual, I do that all the time. I do not. Shocker. I know I'm blowing your mind right now. But I am willing to grow along spiritual lines. I am willing to grow along spiritual lines. And I think that one of the most important things, I love chapter 5, how it works so much. But, you know, the part that I love are the three pertinent ideas. It's all I have to remember every day. I just have to be willing to remember that I'm not in charge. I have resigned as CEO of Jackie Inc. Someone else has taken the role of God, and apparently they're doing a much better job than me. It was not working when I was playing God. You guys are picky and critical, but I tried. I tried. I really tried. And, you know, I take it back sometimes, and I'll show up for the audition for the role of God, and they're like, yeah, we've already cast it, but thank you anyway. It's a cute outfit. And every time I do it, I'm taking back my will, and every time I do it, it sucks. But I do it, and that reminds me where I belong. Because the minute that I think I got this, I'm in trouble. You know, we just heard that the prayer that was read. And the seventh step to me is so punk rock. AA is so punk rock, PSM, by the way. Like, what? No AA police? No one's in charge? Wow. Like, we're benign anarchists. Like, that's what is happening. People like me get the keys of the kingdom? What? Como, donde, cuando, por qué? Wow. That's amazing. And it works. Because it's not me. It's not me, right? And you've given me that. You've given me this way of life where it's not me. I get to be of service. I'm going to say this about the willingness. My first sponsor made me get into service right away. And I had a panel, an H&I panel at the Van Nuys jail. And you do the panel one-on-one behind the plexiglass. And every Saturday I would go to that jail. And I would meet people who'd been arrested the night before, and they're still shaking, and they're scared, and they're embarrassed, and they're still drunk or high or whatever they are, and their world has come crashing down on them. And if I had a dollar for every single person that I met on those Saturdays in that jail who could quote the book, they knew all about AA, they'd been in AA, they did it all, and there they were, arrested for DUI, for drunken disorderly, for domestic violence, but they knew it all. There for the grace of God, go I. They always asked me to do something, make a phone call their wife, call their husband, call their job, call their lawyer, do this, bring them cigarettes, always ask for something. You know what nobody ever asked me, not once ever? Will you call my sponsees? They're gonna be really worried. Turns out, this whole deal is for two things. Change my attitude, right? The way I look at life, and to be of service. And that's all I ever really wanted, even as a kid. And I get to be of service here. My mother never made it into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And in Spanish we say, algunos se tienen que morir para que nosotros vivamos, which means some of us have to die so that the rest of us can live. She died. You don't have to. We don't have to. Our kids and our grandkids don't have to. There is a solution. She didn't know that. I didn't know that. Today I know that every single time my mother told me that she was going to stop, she meant it. Because every single time I said, just one, this is the last one, I promise I'm not going to drink again, I meant it. I have a relationship with her that I didn't have when she was alive. I'm going to keep coming back to you. I'm going to keep being of service. I'm going to keep trying to be the best version of a sober woman in Alcoholics Anonymous that I can, because that seems to work in the rest of my life. I don't fit AA into my life. I'm rock solid in my AA commitments. I fit my life into AA. You are my family. That aches so deep inside of me, just like it says in the Keys of the Kingdom. It's gone. And in its place is a crazy bunch of drunks I call familia. I'm going to keep coming back. I will never, ever live long enough to pay Alcoholics Anonymous back for what I've been given. The key, willingness. If I can just be humble enough to demonstrate that willingness that turns the key of that cell that I've had myself locked in my whole life, that bondage of self, it's my self-imposed prison. But my brain tells me it's you, it's everything else. And you gave me the key to open the door. Just crack it open, Jackie, and let them show you the way. And today I wake up every morning and I report for duty. I'm here, jefe, let's do this. I have a 1, 2, 3 experience every single day as I'm brushing my teeth. I'm like, you're an alcoholic, bitch, don't get it twisted. You are not in charge. When I open the door to walk in the room, I let God go first. Grace, that's all it is for me. Grace over drama. And you gave that to me. I wake up every day and I know who I am. I'm armed with facts about myself. Today I do look in the mirror and I like what I see. I'm not saying like, oh my God, my hair's so amazing. It looks like, I look like the Cowardly Lion from The Wizard of Oz today, literally. But I like what I see. I see a sober woman. I'm a badass. I have
amazing life. My sponsees are so cool.
Except for when they think I'm a bitch. And you know, when they the only difference between the ones who love me and the ones who don't is their willingness. I promise you that. When they're willing, I'm a goddess. When they're not, I'm a bitch. I get it, babe. I get it.
But you guys gave me this life. I won't live long enough to repay you. I won't. But I absolutely will try. AA does for me, slowly, what alcohol did for me, quickly. The only difference is that I've never woken up in the morning and looked at my big book on my nightstand and went, oh my God, what did I do last night? Not once ever.
If I said anything that made sense, I promise you it's this program, because if it was 10 years ago, you guys would have left 40 minutes ago. And if you think that I'm like, yes, duh, hashtag duh, and if I didn't make sense or you think that this program isn't for you, take it up with God, because I prayed before I came up on stage, so I'm just here to serve his will, not mine. Thank you very much for letting me be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I love you. Thank you.